Well, bench in a moment, but first I want to tell you Rama. A Rama, which will hopefully come to appreciate a little more later today during Ian Shia. The Rama Chaber is very skeptical about the notion of Hanukkah parties. Not that he's opposed to eating well over Hanukkah, but he doesn't see it as a Sudas Mitzvah. The Rama writes that if you have a Suda on Hanukkah and you pair it with Divrei Torah and Shiras V'Shvachas, so that transforms it into a Sudas Mitzvah. In other words, L'chor, what he means is that Hanukkah has some degree of Simcha. Later today, we'll explore the words of the Rambam in Paragimel Halacha Gimel of Hanukkah, where the very first thing he says about the Takan of Hanukkah is that there Yimei Simcha, as well as Halal, as well as Hadlakas Neris. So the Rama seems to be, not for the only time in Hilchas Chanukah, aligned with the Rambam, more than the Mechaber is. And Rama seems to also see that there's an element of Simcha on Chanukah that you can, it's not a, the same Madrega of Simcha as Yom Tov. So a Sudas, Chanukah is not automatically a Sudas Mitzvah. This sounds like there can be a combination. It's like we were talking yesterday, it could be the whole Takana or Ner Chanukah was a Mizug, was a combination of two different reasons, both Pirsum Hanes and Zeichel Mikdash. So it could be that Sudas Chanukah is like a mixas simcha, lower level simcha. So if you'll pair that to the underlying native simcha of Chanukah together with Divrei Torah and Shir Shishbachas, so then you transform the two of those together, pull it over the finish line, and transform a Sudas or Shir Shishbachas mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, we had Shir Shishbachas before, Lama Hadrin, with Rikudim. Thanks to all of our technical audio staff for that. I'll share with you, it occurred to me 2 nights ago, I had some of the older Talmidim over at the house. Someone mentioned the Gemara, the Chabur in Yeshiva is learning Hilchas Mezuzah. So one of the guys pointed out, all right, there's a connection, the Gemara is a connection between Mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. Because the Gemara says that that you have the ideal location for your Hadlakas HaMenorah, Pashtus of the Gemara, the ideal location for Hadlakas HaMenorah is Al Pesach Beis Omi Bachutz. And Paliatosis feel that really it's supposed to be Pesach HaChatzer. Al Pipashtus, the Gemara says Pesach Beis Omi, that's what Rashi seems to understand, that's what the Rambam understands. So you have the, where exactly Al Pesach Beis Omi? So the Gemara says you put on the left side. Why the left side? You have the mezuzah on the right, you have the neiris on the left, as you're walking through your front door, so you're mesubah b'mitzvahs, you're surrounded by mitzvahs. So I was thinking about that, like, is there any connection? I mean, it happens, mezuzah is always on the right. So that's just dumb. Okay, the right side is already taken, so why not put a mitzvah for 8 days on the left side? So it could be as simple as that. You want to spread the wealth, you want to diversify, you have mitzvahs on the right and mitzvahs on the left. Could be. Geographical diversity. It could be it's more than that also. Rav Rimon, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, in his Sefer on Tefillin, quotes the following Deher from the Rav. Who here, does anyone here wear a Ben Tam Tefillin? Does anyone here have family? Anyone have relatives who wear a Ben Tam Tefillin? No one wears only a Ben Tam. People, you have relatives who wear both Rosh and Tam. Also?
Kind of.
How many people here have seen people wearing Rosh and Tam? Right? Oh, everyone. Okay. So at first you wonder, like, why is he taking off his tefillin so early? Like, what is that? I thought he was a serious fellow. Why is he taking his tefillin? And then you realize he's putting on a different pair of tefillin. What's that all about? Rosh and Tam. And you've seen people, maybe you know the look. Right? The long rectangular case is two square cases together. What Rosh and Tam? What's it all about? So the truth is there are multiple machloks in Rashi Rabbeinu Tam in the world of tefillin, but Rabbeinu Tam tefillin means it's the same as Rashi tefillin except for one issue. The one issue, even Rabbeinu Tam tefillin follow Rashi and other issues, but the one machlok is that says in Shulchan Aruch that a great tzaddik, a Baal Nefesh, can be machmer to cover his bases and wear both Rashi tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, different versions to wear them simultaneously. If your tefillin are small enough, that's something that you'll see more rarely. Or else you wear them b'zachazet. You put on Rashi, and then after Shmoneh Esrei, you switch to a band time zone. What's the issue? What's the issue? So the issue is like this. The issue is, you have four parshas in the tefillin, Kadesh, Vayikiviyah, Hashma, Vayimshamoah. In what order do you put them? So, the question of how to read the Gemara is, I don't want to get into the Ovi HaKor in terms of the details. I read the Gemara. The Gemara points out, obviously, there are two perspectives. The perspective of the order from the perspective of one who's wearing it versus the one who's the onlooker. Obviously, it's reversed. So the way Rashi reads that Gemara and other Gemaras, Rashi says it's in order. Kadesh, Vahayikivyacha, Shema, Vahayim Shema. From right to left, from the perspective of the onlooker. If you're looking at me wearing tefillin, so you're going to see from right to left, the same way they appear in Chumash. Kai Shevel Kiviyach are both in that order at the end of Parshas Bo, and then Shaman Vashanan, and Vayim Shemoa in Ekev. Well, I mean, Tom says, and there are Gaonim who agree with, who already wrote this hundreds of years before, he points out, Tosis points out, it's already Machlokas HaGaonim. But Tom championed the other opinion, that it's from your perspective, look at me, Kadesh, V'hayikiviyacha, V'hayim Shamoa, and Shema. You flip the order of the last two. Havayos be'emsa. You have the two V'hayas together in the middle. The question is, why? It's out of order. Again, there are Rais, Lakana, Lakana, in terms of, you see from this Gemara like this, you see from that Shimush Rabba like that. There are technical Rayas that seem to indicate how it was placed. And there's a Mechilta, but the question is, not just what, but why? Why would the din, why would the halacha Moshe Sinai perhaps be that it should be out of order? Kadesh v'ayikivyecha v'hayim shamoa shema. Seems so not mistaber. So if Rimon quotes from the Rav, unbelievable insight. He says, Kadesh v'ayikivyecha are in order. You're looking at me, you see Kadesh v'ayikivyecha. If you keep looking, the rest of it seems out of order. Vayim Shema, then Shema. That's because the first two, the two parshas that appear in Sefer Shmos and Parshas Bo, Kadesh Vayikiviyacha, those two are in order from your perspective. Shema Vayim Shemoa are in order from my perspective. You see Kadesh number one, Vayikiviyacha number two. I see Shema number one, Vayim Shemoa number two. It's really a question of each pair of parshios are being looked at from a different perspective. What's the difference between the two pairs of parshios? Well, okay, the first two appear in Chumash Shemos and the latter two appear in Chumash Devarim, number one. Number two, the latter two, Shema Vayim Shemoa, are more personal. The first two, Kadesh Vayikiviyacha, are totally national, totally Kalal Yisrael. Plus, Shema V'Hayim Shamoa are the Yesod. They're a direct statement of Emunah. That Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, and there's one God who created the whole world. We can have a relationship with Him. We ought to have a relationship with Him. V'Havt Hashem Elokecha. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us. In the second part, V'Hayim Shamoa, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's expectations, and there's Schar, and there's Onesh, and there's a connection to Eretz Yisrael, and there's mitzvahs. So many Yisodas HaEmunah appear in Shema V'Hayim Shamoa. Kadesh V'Hayikiviyacha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not in theory, but in history. One of the greatest historical demonstrations of those Ikari HaEmunah was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, together with all the Nisim that surrounded it. The Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, and so forth. So that's the focus of Kadesh V'Hayikiviyacha, is Makos Bechoros, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the mitzvahs that help us to keep those memories alive. So the Rav developed the idea that you have the core Ikari Emunah, which is also phrased in a more personal way, that's from my perspective, Shema Vayim Shemoa. The other two, which are the demonstration of those Ikari Emunah as they play out in history, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bechoros, and with more of a national focus, those are from the onlooker's perspective. Shema Vayim Shemoa primarily, so to speak, are speaking to me. Kadesh V'Hayikiviyacha are primarily speaking to everyone. So that's why we understand well the svara behind the Me'otam, Kadesh V'Hayikiviyacha, V'Hayim Shemoa, Shema. half from my perspective, half from your perspective, the personal, the national, the Ikari Amuna in principle, the theory, so to speak, and the application in history. So it occurred to me, when you wear a tefillin, you have all four parshas. You put up a mezuzah, you only have two. Which two? Shabbat Chaim Shemara. What's missing, so to speak, what you don't have in the mezuzah is the national expression of that and the expression of that in history. That's exactly what Ner Chanukah provides. It's noticing Yad Hashem in history, and specifically in an intensely national Klal Yisrael context. The Nes HaMelchama, both the Nes HaMelchama and the Nes HaShemen were profoundly Klal Yisraelic. Nes HaMelchama was HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously giving us back sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. It was Klal Yisrael had not been sovereign in Eretz Yisrael since decades before Churban Bayis Rishon. So Yoshio was the last truly free king of the Jewish people in the Bayis Rishon. Once Yoshio goes down and Megiddo taken down by power and his army, the rest of the last couple of kings of the Malchus of Malchus Beis David during the Bayis Rishon, they were all descendants of Yoshio. They were all kings in name. They weren't really sovereign kings of the Jewish people. They were puppet kings for one international power or another. For Mitzrayim, for Ashur, and ultimately for Babel. We explored that a little bit on Tzom Gedaliah. And that was it. And then, for hundreds and hundreds of years, there was nothing. For 70 years, after those couple of decades of the end of the Bayis Rishon, you have the Churban Bayis Rishon, 70 years of Galus Babel, then they begin to come back, and Koresh is very kind, the emperor of Persia, and he gives them a lot of encouragement, and he gives them a lot of authority to go back and to reestablish the community, Jewish community itself, and to build a Beis HaMikdash. But they're not free. They're valued citizens of the Persian Empire. They're subjects of the Persian Emperor. And so it goes for many, many, many years, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And then ultimately, after many decades, Alexander conquers Persia. And then Yavan takes over. And that goes on for several generations until finally things come to a head under Antiochus and the Maccabim revolt. And now for the first time since Yoshio, we're free, sovereign people in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Gemara says. Gemara has different explanations of why it is that there's a halal on Chanukah, but not on Purim. If there's halal for an ace, not just for a yomtiv, not just for Simchas yomtiv, so you have halal on Chanukah, we don't have halal on Purim. So the Gemara has three explanations. So one explanation is you do have halal on Purim, but it's the Megillah rather than the regular halal. Maybe we'll talk about that more in at a Purim time. The other two explanations the Gemara has are that the nace of Purim doesn't cut it, either because it happened in Chutz Laretz or because Akati Avdi Dachashver Shanan. We were still Avadim Tachashverish. We weren't free. We were still, we were safe, but we weren't free. It was, in other words, a Yeshua, but not a Geula. Chanukah was a Yeshua that also resulted in Geula. Chanukah was a Yeshua that resulted in Jewish sovereignty. We were free and in charge of ourselves. We had Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael for the first time since Yoshua HaMelech. So that was, the Nes HaMelchama was intensely Klal Yisrael Dik Nes. And the Nes HaShemen was the restoration, the full restoration of the Beis HaMikdash to Klal Yisrael in an appropriate fashion. So it could be that's perhaps part of the Kavana of what the Gemara says, you want to have you have the mezuzah on the right, the nearest on the left. Maybe it's not only that this way, you know, you'll spread the wealth. Once you have the mitzvah mezuzah, anyhow on the right side, why not have the menorah on the left side? Maybe it's much more than that. Maybe it's much more atzmis than that. Maybe it's much more inherent than that. It's that the Chanukah, nearest Chanukah, are the, so to speak, the equivalent of Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyecha. Nearest Chanukah are mashlim, they're the other half to the mezuzah. All year long, you have mezuzah on the right. But for eight nights a year, you have the full picture, the full panoply of all the issues, and it's the same as the approach of the Natan. You have on the one side you have the Ikari Amuna, on the other side you have the way those Ikari Amuna express themselves in how they play out in history. On one side you have the personal Ikari Amuna, on the other side you have the the national application and the application of Ikari Emuna to the national story. So that's something to think about over the course of Hanukkah. We have a Kohen?